Okay.
No.
Oh, that seat's been moving around.
I can see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure you
go. Okay. Any questions? Any questions, fellas?
We were discussing before the importance of tzitzit.
Tzitzit.
And where it originates from, and why is it such a
important mitzvah?
Important mitzvah.
Okay. Okay. Who's we?
Me and Isaac.
Oh, okay.
Can I just add to that also? What is the tzitzit that most people wear? What is it? Like, what is that?
Oh, different type of question.
What do you mean, yeah?
Is it the top? But they're asking a philosophical question. You're asking like a halakhic question.
I'm just asking kind of simple. Is that what we're talking about? Like, are we talking about that?
Well, like Talith's question: are these smaller than the Shear? Right. That's what you're asking. Like, this is about how big is it, and are we? Is that what you're asking, or
I'm not asking like about the particulars. I'm just asking what we're talking about.
Oh, we're talking about the mitzvah of tzitzis in the Torah.
Yeah. So what is that?
No, I guess when you wear a four corner garment, you put tzitzis on it.
Oh, okay.
Right? Does that work?
I guess.
You're asking a different question. No, you're just trying to squeeze it in there, but that's another question. I know what you're getting at. But, you know, we got to separate them out. They're different kinds of questions. Right? That's like, what's the minhag and the halacha and the shear and the small ones and the big, right? Isn't that what you're asking
about?
I'm
just asking, like, when we talk about philosophical, does that apply to what we're wearing?
Yeah.
Like the small one?
Okay. Theory. I mean, that's a question. If it's big enough to be chayav in tzitzis, there's a halachic question. Is it the right shear? Is it not the right shear? So, if it's the right shear, then that's what we're talking about. If it's not the right shear, then it's a minhag to, you know, or, look, in theory, yes, what is it? If it's not, it's somehow it's a suffix whether it's the right shear, so what do we make, you know, rachmir to do it, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, that's the same thing. Tzitzis, the mitzvah tzitzis. Or tzitzit, whichever, you know, whichever way you say it. But what's the idea of tzitzis and why is it important, you're saying, right?
Right.
Okay, that's a good question. Yeah. Yeah, let's get another question.
Okay.
On this topic.
What?
So it says, you see the tzitzis, and you remember all the mitzvahs.
Right.
And you do them, right? So why is that? Like, how does the tzitzis remind you of all the mitzvahs? Like, if you see tzitzis, why does it remind you of all the mitzvahs?
Main things
are tchelas. Okay, so you could say because the tchelas reminds the blue, and the blue reminds you of the sky, and the sky reminds you of Hashem, right? But it doesn't say it reminds you of Hashem. It says it reminds you of kol mitzvos Hashem. What? He said kavod yafan. But still, that's Hashem isn't the same thing as kol mitzvos Hashem. Like, how does it remind you of the mitzvos Hashem? You say it reminds you of Hashem, fine. But mitzvos Hashem is not exactly the same thing as Hashem.
The idea of
like mezuzah reminds you of Hashem, because Shema Yisrael Achdus Hashem, right? But tzitzis it says called mitzvah Hashem.
Kind of more like a Yir Shemayim thing, like knowing that Hashem is, you know, always watching. That's
the four corners of the earth.
Yeah, the four corners of the earth. But how does that deform the mitzvah Hashem?
I mean, this whole thing with like the.
I know, I know. That's what the Chazal say is because it says the knots, the Tegematria, tzitzis is 600,
right.
And then there are 8 strings, is 8, and then 5 knots, adds up to 613.
Right.
But is that pshat in the pasuk? It's hard to say that's like pshat in the pasuk.
I mean, pshat in the pasuk is as tchelas, and the reason for tchelas is because so you have to be reminded of Pisa Kabbalah. It's basically
right.
That you're always being, Hashem's always, you know, always remember that, yeah, you're chayiv, so you won't go, like, they won't go off and do, you know,
right, but my question is that the way to say that is called mitzvah Hashem? Because it's, in other words, it's just say Shemayim Yod Kiseko Rendi Hashem. How's that called mitzvah Hashem? I mean, you could say it if you want to be loose about it, but it's not that drash doesn't really relate to the mitzvahs per se. It's just the idea is Shemayim Yod Hashem. As you don't forget about. I guess you say it reminds you not to do averos. Is that what it means? Yeah.
To me, it's just like you could take anything almost and say, like...
I know, that's my question. Is it just because the Torah says this reminds you of all the mitzvahs, and therefore when you look at it, it reminds you of all the mitzvahs? Or is there something... Something's bothersome to me about that. Is it like, you know, you tie a red string on the finger... What? Yeah, like, what about... Is there anything in tzitzis itself which reflects or brings to mind the mitzvahs, other than the fact that Hashem said, when you see it, it reminds you of the mitzvahs? So you could say the Tchelas, but again, I would say then that it reminds you of Hashem. Shouldn't be the mitzvos. It's not really about the mitzvos. I mean, yeah, I guess Hashem told us mitzvos and all that. So, like when you say mezuzah, the Rambam says, for instance, reminds you of Yichud Hashem, because he says Shema Yisrael Shema Shema Achad, but doesn't say the mitzvot Hashem, it says reminds you of Hashem, Yichud Shema. You know, yes.
Yeah, so what if you tuck them in? You don't even see them.
Right, that's a good question.
The question is, does it mean that it's when you actually see them? Because I think they say that, so I think the Mishnah brings down that the reason was so you should keep them out because you see them. So you see them, you know?
The Gemara makes it spelled during the day, not the night.
Yeah, that's right. So I think Ramosha finds, Rav Chaim Shay told me that Ramosha Feinstein said, is that the Mishnah can't just make up his own limud. The Gemara, the Gemara says the Rishon also means that it's like sort of daytime you wear it, or the daytime clothing you wear.
Right.
But it doesn't say anything about seeing them, you know? So the Drill Halacha, he says, that's what Ramosha said, is that I think he said it's not Halacha for keeping them out, because that's not the Gemara, and the Mishnah can't just, you know, be Dorish and Pasuk on his own. You know?
But Shulchan Aruch says to wear it over your blanket.
Yeah.
So why don't, I mean, the only reason not to is because of the right reason. Kind of funny.
Reason what? The result says not to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because?
Because it's not having to do with like the, it's supposed to like the Kapnaz Katan has to do with like your internal thing. Mm-hmm. Like your, I don't know. Yeah. I'm saying it's kind of funny that we don't follow Shulchan Aruch because of, you know.
Right. What does he say? Where is it? He said that? What does he say?
Something to do with because your Kapnaz Katan is supposed to, you know, remind yourself.
No, but what does Shulchan Aruch say?
Shulchan Aruch says to wear it over your begging.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
So, good question, but that's like, it's possible that would work. But that's like a halacha. I mean, like, certainly the idea is to see it and to know about it. And it's like, presumably it means you don't have to actually see it. I mean, you know you're wearing them and they're on you and you have the consciousness of them. And there's no halacha of actually seeing them. But the idea is that they're, what you're wearing reminds you of certain ideas. You know, like when you're wearing something, it could be on your mind even if you don't actually see it. Seems like that's the halacha, at least. But it's like, it has to be subject. What do you want, Mishabura?
Yes, yeah, sure.
It's like behind those boxes of stuff, so just be careful to.
Do we know the reason why you don't have to wear it in it?
Presumably, I think it's a reason also, but reason also doesn't mean to wear it, doesn't mean to actually see it, but it means it's subject to see it. It's in a time where it's subject to see it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I think that's why at night, it's a question if that's a. Yeah.
So, thinking that other than Bris Mila, this mitzvah kind of seems like the only one that's pretty much with you during everything you're doing. Because like a normal person wears clothing the whole day,
right?
And it seems like whatever, it doesn't matter. I don't think, at least, I mean, the way I'm thinking about it, it doesn't matter what the particulars of the mitzvah are, but it seems like there's a mitzvah that's carrying with you throughout the day.
Right.
That's on your person.
Right.
That's there to, like, it's on you. So right. It's kind of
right.
There.
Right. Just, it's not like just a technical mitzvah, but it's
right.
Something that you always have.
Right. It's part of your activities.
Here's tefillin in theory is also supposed to be like that.
Oh, right? That's true. Yeah. Right. Also tefillin. So, yeah.
But the tefillin reminds you of Hashem. It doesn't necessarily remind you of the mitzvah of Hashem, right? It's like Shakai, the Shem Hashem,
the
Skaros, and the Parshios.
Right, yeah. So the tzitzis like don't really have anything specific tied to them. So it's kind of very general. It's just like you're doing a mitzvah, and I guess I could see that as you have mitzvos. I guess mitzvos in the general
it's
sense.
It's a mitzvah, and it's on you always. It reminds you of the mitzvahs because it's a one particular example of a mitzvah.
Right.
Something
about
the four corner
economy?
Something about a four corner?
I read that
way. Well, I think the four corner. Yeah, okay, right. That's a good question. I mean, you could argue four corner. It's not clear. I mean, we'll get to this maybe. But one way to argue is four corner is just that's what their garments are.
Ponchos.
That's what they used to wear, a four-corner garment. Like for us, it's a weird kind of thing. What's a four-corner garment, you know? But that's what they used to wear, four-corner garments.
You're only chayiv in the sisters if you're wearing a four-corner garment?
Yes. The minhag is to wear a four-corner garment in order to do the mitzvah.
Right.
But the halacha, the only chayiv is if you're wearing a four-corner garment, you have to put sisters on it. You know, that's the deraisa. But the minhag is we wear a four-corner garment and thereby obviate us in the sin. Because it's an important mitzvah and we want to always do it. But Ram says the person should always do it and know it's a very important mitzvah and always reminds you of Hashem. And, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of the ideas. So the Ram has that idea. It's like a person is removed from sinning by the fact that he has like reminders on it. So mitzvah, tzitzis, tefillin, it's like constant things that are part of his life that always remind him of Hashem and of the mitzvahs, and that like prevents him from chayv. Like it's built into your life, right in your clothing.
So the question is like, how is it a reminder?
Yeah, I guess so. Like I'd like to know if there's anything more specific about tzitzis than just saying it's a mitzvah and it's constantly on you and therefore and it's blue and it reminds you of the Kitzei Kavod or something. You know, is there something about the mitzvah?
Why can't you just give you anything?
Yeah, right. That's my question. It's like, could you do anything with it, or is it something about the mitzvah itself? Like, tefillin reminds you of Hashem because it says, Shema Yisrael, Shem Hashem Echadin, and it reminds you of all the main ideas in the Torah because it says that, so you see why the tefillin reminds you of it, you know. But it's not claiming that it's reminding you of all the mitzvahs, it reminds you of Yichud Hashem.
And also, they don't have Kedusha.
Yes, it just doesn't have Kedusha.
My Zayi said something about that.
Yeah? Yeah.
I just forgot. There's something about
that. Yeah, because the Kedusha is from Shem Hashem, so it doesn't have Shem Hashem on it. That's why. The Olam Yadam Zahir Mitzvah Sitzes, Sharia Kasu Shakla Vitalaba, Kala Mitzvah Skula. She'll be careful about Mitzvah Sitzes because the Torah like equates it and hangs all the Mitzvahs on them. Shnem Rishim Mitzvah Shkhatam is Kaman Sashem, Asisim Mitzvah. One second.
I should have said list.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, fine. So, I'll tell you an approach I once had. You know, you can see what you think. But I started thinking about what's the idea of tzitzis, right? So just halachically, what is the din of tzitzis? Just first halachically, and then maybe to get into what the philosophy of the mitzvah is. But halachically, it's when you have a garment. So what is doing, it's like the corners. The idea of, and maybe this gets into four corners. The idea is like you're qualifying your bagad. Because you have a baguette, and you're defining it as like not just a baguette of chol, but as a baguette of mitzvah. Okay, and there's a tzitzis are mitzvah, and like sometimes there's an idea of defining something by its corners, by the extremes. You know, like you have something on the front door, you define the house by its front door. But like when you, the corners are like the extremes of the thing. So by putting tzitzis on the four corners, it's not just on the four corners, but you define the entire baguette. You follow me? No. The corners are like the extremities of a thing. So like when you like and you define, it's like you say, it's like so to speak, it's like on all the corners and it like projects into the whole, into the everything within the four corners. Like if you have an object and you there's the, it's delineated by its corners. Your mezuzah is an example, like in the front door. So like you define the bias, it's like that's the entrance point between the house and the and everywhere else. So it's like when you walk into the house, the whole house is defined by the entrance of the house.
That's not the extremity.
No, it's not. It's a similar point, though, but the idea is that that's a, it's a little bit of a different point. But it's the there's a concept of defining, because you want to give a quality to an entire thing, but you don't necessarily have to attack the entire thing, but you put it on a certain point, which thereby qualifies the entire thing. So like by a house, it's like by the entranceway. I'm saying by an example where you do that, something by an extremity, like I would think maybe you put the, sometimes you put like a pole on top of, so like a flagpole on top of something maybe. By the corners.
You say air is the extremity of the...
Yeah, it's sort of, you could say that. It's a little different though.
Right.
I don't know, I can't think of an example, but you don't have that idea?
Can you define something by extremities?
Because I say the extremities define the entire inside. If you had to define the baguette, so it's delineated by the corners. Like if you have, if you want to define a square, so you make four points, and that defines, that delineates the square. like a square is determined by the points or
and
a shape.
Where does it stop?
Yeah, a shape is extreme, the four corners, and then you just connect it by the ends. So it's like everything within could be subsumed or described by the external, by the extremes.
Like nothing
like if I paint the corners these blue, it doesn't make this thing blue. It's pink because it's real pink. You know what I'm saying? Like I've never heard of this extremity idea.
Well, you by the mezuzah also wouldn't do that, no?
What?
The mezuzah wouldn't do that either.
Right, but that, I'm saying like that's different.
What I'm saying is, I'm not saying it's blue. I'm saying it has a quality of mitzvah. So you know, it depends what you mean. If you're defining it as a color, then you only define it by the color. But if you're trying to give a quality, imbue a quality into a thing. So by taking a, you don't have to. You can create an abstract quality on an entity. Without having to take every single inch of
like
the
how
entity.
How do you know that that's a square?
Right, so I'm saying like Rove usually does that. I've never heard of it.
Meaning, how do you know that?
But what do you mean Rove and Rove mean for a by census? I mean Rove, yeah.
I'm not saying like you get a. I'm just saying I never heard. In terms of giving something quality, I don't hear.
I think it has to do with like how do you know that that thing's a rectangle? Well, you can't say based on the inside because that doesn't tell you any of the facts. It's the fact that.
Well, that's not giving it a quality. That's making. You want to make it, you have to just delineate the points where it is. Like, you want to give it quality, that's usually rope. Here, the color is a quality. Give it the quality of pink.
We're not making it rope pink.
Yeah, I'm saying you're giving it a shame, mitzvah. I'm not saying you're coloring it.
Where are you going to put it?
You're attaching a shame to the bag of.
So
you're defining it as a bag of shal mitzvah. So, I mean... Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
I think you think about it. Do you guys ever, anyone else having a hard time with seeing the point?
I can kind of see
I'm going to take it as a given. Like, I'm not, like, even, meaning I understand the idea, but it's not the clearest.
Yeah.
I hear somebody arguing with, like, right. with the idea also.
I wouldn't object against that premise.
Right. Okay, I can show you the example. But I think that's how you define it. If you want to define a square, you take 4 points and that's the delineate. It's a square, or a square, or a rectangle, any shape. It's by its points. So the idea is that the extremes of a thing is encompass the entire what that which is inside. The edge. Yeah, I can't do better than that. But I think that's the idea, halachically. You know, I did the sigils, that's what comes out also. It's like you're defining the baguette as a baguette shal mitzvah.
In general, just another thing, wearing it out, Lithuanian, no one really wore the tzitzit.
They don't.
Yeah, you never see them wearing it.
Oh, really?
Lithuanian.
Because they're scared of, like, anti-Semitism?
Yeah, then maybe, I don't know. Because you see, once they moved to Israel in general, they started wearing it out. So,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of funny. I don't know.
Did you find the Shulchan Aruch or no?
I didn't find it, but I mean, I remember it though.
Okay.
But I think the Magen Avraham says to wear it out.
Yeah, because Rishon also.
I don't think he says it because you think it's because of, I don't know. It's because of that.
I think so. I think that Mishnah Berurah is calling
Magen Avraham. No, it's called Magen Avraham.
I think so. I'm not sure, but I think so. I think it's Magen Avraham. Yeah. Okay, let me know if you find that. Okay. Yeah, okay. So I was thinking is like what's the idea of so apparently it's like you're taking a baguette and you're trying to give it a quality of being mitzvah. Okay, Shamayim, Hashem, Kisekava, whatever it is. But in other words, it's taking a baguette and it's defining it. So the question is what is a baguette? And what's like, it seems to me like you're basically saying there's a difference between like the baguette of a guy, for instance, and the baguette of Yisrael. And then you're taking a baguette which is X, and now the baguette of tzitzis is like a different, something other. And what is, so if you have to say, what is a baguette? What is a baguette? What's the point of a baguette? Okay, if I ask you that. What's the, just not clothing. What's the point of a baguette? To clothe, okay?
To cover yourself.
Shelter. Okay, so it seems like you boil it down to two things, right? One is you could say it's like protection from, like, I guess, the elements. And the other thing is which I want to go with, is maybe more primary, is to cover yourself, to cover your nakedness, right? Which is the origin of Begadim, which is like Begadim, right? Begadim knew he was naked, and he covered himself, right? So man, there's different animals don't wear clothing, right? human beings wear clothing. So man has a sense of shame about his nakedness, which Hashem gave us based on Adam Rishon Nisrei. God gives us like a certain sense of guilt or shame, or, you know, about our animalistic nature, and we have a begad. We cover it up, right? We cover up our instincts, right? We don't. We feel a certain shame. Right? A person's naked. You don't feel comfortable because you have a certain part of you which doesn't feel comfortable with your instinctual nature, and you cover it up with a begad. Now, it could be with the Torah's idea is that the idea of the Torah is different than that idea, which is that we don't hold just by, like, covering up instincts, just denying your instincts, covering them up. But what the Torah holds is the way you relate to your instincts is, like, you recognize them, but you direct them with chachma, right? Utilize them in a manner which is guided by your mind. Yeah, which is guided by your mind. Mitzvahs in general, basically, like is.
Soda.
What?
Like Suda, the Rav talks about that.
Soda?
Like Suda.
Oh, Suda.
Right.
Yeah, Suda. Or in general, mitzvahs. Is the Derech Haaretz. Torah doesn't, like other religions, like let's say, for instance, Christians, like the celibacy, you know, or asceticism in general. There's religions which are basically against the physical. The instinctual is bad. And we cover it up, we deny it, it's like under wraps, you know? So the idea of celibacy is an extreme of that example, you know? Totally deny all physical, you know, all physicality. But the Torah does not deny it. The Torah says, for instance, Oneg Shabbos. Shabbos is the most kadosh day, and we have the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, so eating and sex. It's a day which is, on the one hand, stamata is learning, but man's nature is the physical also, but it's just that the physical has to be guided with chachma, the guided under, you know, it's under the control of your mind. So you satisfy your instincts, but it's directed in a healthy, moderate type of a way. And that's what mitzvahs do in general. That's why, so in general, like in Machalas Asuros and Yisrael Bia, that's the manner of mitzvahs is that a person is involved in this world, and he has his energies in the physical things in this world, and through doing mitzvos, all of your actions and all your energies in this world are directed according to your mind, and are involved in activities which remind you of ideas. Like a lot of the mitzvahs, Sefer Mitzvah, in the Sefer Achinuch, he talks about it. A lot of his reasons, Tamei Mitzvos, are basically like, man is drawn after his actions, and your actions should be remind you of ideas. So the Torah takes a person whose energies are in this world, and it directs those energies towards the system of chachma.
I don't know if it's all, but it's like symbolic. Like I wouldn't say like I don't think eating at Suda is symbolic. You know what I mean? Like
you would or wouldn't say symbolic.
Wouldn't say that.
No, I'm not saying symbolic. No, I'm saying it directs you to ideas. It brings to mind ideas, and like. Like, let's say, matzah. Eating matzah reminds you of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, or reminds you of the Gula, or eating on Yom Tov is a simcha. It's based on reminding you of the idea of a simcha of Nei Hashem, so it brings to mind the idea of Nei Hashem, and you're acting in line with that, so you're having a joy about being with Nei Hashem. And to Shema has a parashios on it, and you see that the mitzvah reminds you of the idea of Avtos Hashem. And a lulav is you take the produce of the land and you take it and you use it at Seod Lashon Kitov and you think this produce which I have is from Hashem and it reminds me of the ideas which are the Hashem. And shofar is the idea of tshuva and you blow a shofar and it makes a sound that's like a cry and it's more you to tshuva and makes you think that this is Yom HaDin and Malchus Hashem. And I mean, every mitzvah has different ideas which are built into it. And the idea of the Yisurim also. A Shabbos reminds you of Ma'aseh Bereishis. So it's a day which makes you think about the Bria and the Hashem created the world. And Shabbos, we rest on Shabbos. And Yisurim also. We don't eat certain things. And that reminds us, and it keeps us in a moderate way of life. And it brings to mind the idea that moderation is a proper way to live. And keeps these ideas about the way you should relate to the physical. I mean, every mitzvah brings to mind an expression. Every mitzvah, mitzvahs are expression of ideas. So you have philosophical ideas about God, ideas about the way a person should live, And every mitzvah is incorporates an idea into it. A good example, if you want to see it, I mean, look at Sefer Chinuch. Every mitzvah, he shows ideas which are involved in mitzvahs. And that's the idea of Talmud mitzvahs. It keeps us... See, I like to draw a difference between Talmud Torah on the one hand and mitzvahs on the other hand. The Torah talks to a person in those two things. Is Talmud Torah is where a person just enters the world of ideas. He's removed from the physical world, so to speak. He's just thinking. He's involved in a world of ideas, thinking, person pondering, abstract thoughts. He's not doing stuff. He's just sitting back and thinking. And that's Talmud Torah kind of cool, and that's like the highest activity. A person is involved totally in the world of ideas. But mitzvos is based on the premise that a person is not a malach. A person lives in this world. A person does actions. A person is involved in eating. He's involved in sex. He's involved in going out into the world and money and all the different things that she does. And the Torah does is that, Torah holds is that you have to talk to a person in that sphere as well. Mitzvos is basically bringing the ideas which you have in Talmud Torah into your life. And your actions, your daily actions on a day-to-day basis, everything you do incorporates the ideas, the conclusions that you have in the world of Talmud Torah are brought into your life through mitzvahs. So mitzvahs are actions, each of which has some ideas built into it. And thereby the ideas of your of Torah are incorporated, inculcated into your life.
When you're learning and not learning, the ideas of mitzvahs, you're learning the halachic.
You learn both. You should be. Rishonim did. I mean, they're both. It's both. You do both. But when you do business also, that's all. I'm not saying just necessarily philosophical ideas. I'd say the idea is also when your actions are guided by chachma. So your actions are guided by a system of chachma. You know the halacha, and you study the halacha, and you have a shaila, and you're not sure what bracha she makes. You look into it, and you think. So now your life is guided by ideas. Not only philosophical ideas, it's both. I mean, I don't think it would be a good idea to lose the ideas behind the mitzvahs also, and just
like
to be
keeping
empty.
Keeping God in every action.
What?
It's like keeping God in every action.
Yes, every keeping action. God and keeping your mind in every action. But I'd say God is already the ideas. The ideas of the mitzvahs are the ideas about God, and that's getting into philosophy. But it's both. I mean, I don't see why it has to be one or the other. But I mean, the mitzvahs are... I mean, look, you could say there's no idea of time mitzvahs and God just wanted us to do a lot of actions without any ideas.
I think it's just a little different. Do you ever know
Rikash Nemisha? Not really. But I've heard a lot about it. I've discussed it a lot. Much. Yeah, but let's not digress. Is it that...
I
got a
specific question.
Oh. Yeah, no, I don't know much about that. So things like this. So that's what I'm saying is like the derech of mitzvos, the idea of the kol mitzvos Hashem is this idea of the Torah, which is to direct your energies in this world towards Hashem and towards the ideas of Hashem and towards Chachma. So the thing is like that's what tzitzis is. Tzitzis is basically a model of that. Is that the most basic thing, the idea of the Godnim is that you're covering up your instincts. You're denying your instincts or you're covering your instinct. And the Torah says, don't just cover your instinct, but direct it towards the way the Jews beg it is not just a physical covering. It's a halachic entity which reminds him of the Tchisya Kavod and of all different ideas, and he has the halachos. All the halachos of tzitzis are involved in the clothing, the halachic entity, and there's all kinds of sugyas in tzitzis. So it's like the way he covers himself is not just a physical covering, but he's covering himself with an abstract halachic entity. It reminds him of philosophical ideas, of halachic ideas, where he studies how to do tzitzis, how to make the tzitzis, how to put on the tzitzis. So that's like that's what tzitzis is, but it's like a model which he always has with him, and it reflects the idea of kol mitzvos Hashem, which is the idea is the mitzvos Hashem is the derech of that bringing of taking a person's energies in this world and directing them towards aligning them up with the conclusions of his mind. You know what I mean? So it's not just like because the pasuk said so, but it's like a model of the derech of the mitzvahs. Follow me?
How does the strings
necessarily invoke that? I'm not saying that's the whole, that's the particulars. I don't know.
No, but I'm saying, like, how...
Like, I'm saying the idea is it's a halachic... I'm saying it's the idea is that... The strings presumably are like this, like Chazal says, the strings are tchelas, and tchelas reminds you of the Kitzei HaKavod. But I'm saying the particular idea is the idea is more is that you're taking your bagad, which is like a mundane object used to cover your erva, and now you're using a halachic object to cover your erva. An object of mitzvah, an object which you have to construct according to a very specific halakhic formula. What?
You're like directing.
Yeah, right. You're directing, you're recognizing the ideas. The way in which you cover yourself is with using your mind. You don't just cover yourself just with by like a counter reaction to like, I feel guilty, I cover my nakedness. But you use your mind to cover yourself. How do you cover your instincts? Using your mind. So it's like you're using a halachic entity. You study the mitzvah of how to make it, and you're involved in the mitzvah, and you think of bracha when you do it. So it's like you're covering of your instincts. The way in which you clothe yourself is with a halachic entity. You know, and the halachic entity brings to mind ideas of Hashem and reminds you of Hashem and the tchelas, and you know. But that's there in general. That's the person's in general. The way he should act should be that he has. All the actions he does should be guided by chachma, you know, and not just by, you know, like even a person's, anything he does should be, that's all the mitzvahs that involve a person in thinking throughout his life.
So it's more like a paradigm for...
Yeah, right. It's a paradigm which is in a paradigm of mitzvahs, and I think what Sammy said is like it's always on you. So if you see it always, and it's a model which reminds you of the derech of mitzvahs, and that's something you should... Then you should lo sasurah l'achayinecha mashuv zonu achrayim. That's the manner of lo sasurah. How do you avoid, you know, being pulled by your senses? Is by involving your energies in ideas, by directing your life to a world of to those ideas. You know,
right. not just trying to cover up and like.
Yes.
Like,
right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. There are the Torah, not just to repress your instincts. But it's to recognize them and direct them with chachma. It's like not just like to deny to your repetitive instinct, not just to deny it, to recognize it and just to use it in a proper context. And so Seder Shabbos and enjoying for have a good meal on Shabbos, enjoy yourself. And so Yontif, and so it's like in general that's the derech of the Torah is to be able to live life, to enter the world, but just to have a proper to do it in the world. Way which is in line with your mind, you know. So it's like Tzitzis brings to mind that idea, you know, in a constant way. So it's like that's the tool that a person could avoid being pulled by his taivos. You'll be pulled in because if you focus on that derech of the mitzvah, it's like it could allow you. That's a problem. The challenge is it's very easy for a person to learn in the base matters, but then when he goes into the world and he does stuff in the world, he gets pulled in by everything else. So the idea of having something on you, constant, which reminds you and brings to mind what it reminds you of is the derech of the mitzvahs. It brings you to the mind is like it keeps your mind's eye on the idea of that chachma should be built into your life.
It's kind of hard to do that if it's on you, baby.
If it's what?
It's kind of hard to do that if you can't see it.
Sort of. I don't know about that. I'm not sure. Because, I mean, I guess it depends. You know about it. It's like you know you're wearing it. And you know, look. If you want to deny it, then you deny it anyways. Even if you see it, and if you like, I don't think seeing it. I mean, a person's more deep than that. I mean, you could be seeing it and you could do chatayim, and you could not see it and it could work. It's a matter of your mindset. You know you're wearing it, and it's supposed to move you.
Yeah. You got it. So, Yusem also is not connected to Uskar Kemis from the association.
It is.
I mean, it's like, well, it says when you see it, then you remember it. Kind of funny.
I know. See it. I know. But that's what it says. It doesn't say anywhere that you have to see it.
Right.
Halachically. So it seems like it's the...
No one says not.
What?
No one says not to, though.
I know, but that's not exactly how halacha works. No one says not to. You mean, they say it means that it's Mitzvah Yom. So it's... I mean, you could just say it's Pashut. They always saw it because that was their begotten. They wore it on their four corner garments. That was their clothing. It wouldn't be like an undershirt. It would be under a thing.
So that's the case. Wouldn't that be more halachically binding then than people are going to admit it?
Well, the thing is like this, is that it's the way halachically it's set up is that if you're wearing a four-corner garment, then you have to put tzitzis on it. Because that's, I think that's like...
It's not just saying it based on the fact that it was, that it was something that everybody wore. It's conditioned on the...
Yes, halachically it's based on four-corner garments. I mean, I thought halachically because that's the way the Torah defines a beged, is why you put it in four corners. If you have like a shirt, how exactly do you define it? So the way... The model the Torah chose, maybe because that's what they used to wear, maybe because there's some, I don't know if they get into why it is the Torah did it that way. But that's halachically the mechayev. So halachically the mechayev is, if you have a four-corner garment, then that's mechayev, you and tzitzis. If you don't, then you're not. But the minhag is, since this idea is so important, that's what Ram says, is that af pishen of the mechuyov liknos talos losatev ba kadesh yasu tzitzis. You're not chayev to buy a garment. It's not appropriate for a chassid, Adam Chassid, to ponder himself. You should always be careful to be wrapped in a garment which is chayv and tzitzis. Kadeshi kam tzitzu, b'shas atfil tzitzu reserve yoser. So it's like a special thing. Is even though technically you can be ponder, it's not appropriate to be ponder yourself because of the significance of the mitzvah. But halachically, the way it's set up is that you're not chayav unless you have a four-corner garment. So that's the minhag, is that we always do it. That's the minhag to wear it, that we wear a four-corner garment and chayav ourselves in it. You know what I mean? But technically, the rice, there's no chayav because you don't have a four-corner garment. No chayav. Okay?
What do you think about rabbis giving people brachas?
What do I think about it? I guess it depends on the idea that they have. I mean, I don't know the full...
I mean, because the thing is that, like Amara speaks about it, like, Rabbi Meir's mother went around, like, to all different rabbis to get, like, bracha that her son should be a Talmud Chacham. Right? In general, you see, like, the Moshe Feinstein gave brachas. You know, you always see the rabbis...
Yeah, well, I heard an interesting story. Someone told me they brought someone to to Rav Moshe Feinstein. What? Well, they brought him. He was a single guy, and he was getting old. He wasn't married. They brought him for a bracha. So he said, Moshe Feinstein said, he says, I guess they described the situation a little bit or something. I don't know if there's some background, but Gary Glogar told me this. You know, he brought the guy. He says, no. Maybe it'd be a little less picky. And I think the guy got married soon thereafter. But I think the idea, though, was... I mean, I think an idea of bracha, which I think is a good idea, is a certain type of a guidance in life, like an advice, an etza. Where, for instance, if a rabbi tells you should be a Talmud Chacham, so it kind of impresses on your mind that this is a valuable thing, and that a person is like, this could be a tefillah also, and it moves the person to being, to wanting to be in line with the bracha. So, like, there's an idea of directing a person towards a certain life. Like, this example, it's like, it's a bracha, you should be a spiky, you should have, I don't know exactly, that's all the quote was to me. But there's an idea, it's like there's a taken authority, someone who's, who's meaningful to a person, and when they say something, so it could move you, and they could have insight, and they could have, an advice, something which could direct you towards a proper way to live.
Okay.
And that's good. Like someone who knows you especially, or knows your situation, and could help give you a good, and presumably it could be as a tefillah also, there's a tefillah and a bracha.
I mean, yeah, they do have like... If the same type of person, has a special connection.
Yeah, it could be there's a tefillah has like could have an impact. But I think it depends. If you look at it as like a magical power, that he somehow could make things happen, I think that's a bad idea.
It's not a guarantee, but still is.
Well, there's an idea of a tefillah. If you relate to it as a tefillah, that Hashem is that Hashem could make you into Talmud Chacham, or Hashem could help you along the way, or Hashem could do something, and it's a tefillah to Hashem, then that's a good idea. But if there's an idea a person has that the rabbi has a power to make you to like accomplish things,
so how do you apply that to Rabbi Meir's mother's case?
I'm not familiar with the Gemara, so it's hard to.
But in general, you see that people don't look at it that way.
Which way?
You think it's really just going to get Eitzah?
Yeah, I think it's something that just moves a person. I think that, and it could be a tefillah.
Like, I don't know, people go around just to get moved? Like, just get chizuk?
Well, people see just as a very interesting word you're using, because just be moved to, like, ideas in tshuva and chizuk is underrated nowadays, but, that's the essence of Torah.
I don't think, it doesn't seem like they're going around just getting chizuk. I mean, I'll use it again. They're going around to get chizuk.
No, people don't like chizuk. People like shortcuts, and they like formulas, magical potions, which just make you into get all the good stuff. But the Torah is about chizuk, and it's about personal growth. And the way to grow in Torah is through hard work and tshuva, and introspection, and chizuk, and not someone else to magically make you into give you success. But people love this stuff. It's very easy to just. To not just get chizuk, that's it. I just have to then do all the work myself. That's not very appealing.
I'll find the Gemara.
Yeah, you find the Gemara. Look, there are a lot of Gemaras, you know, but you have to analyze them. I'd love to, and I just can't comment on it without, I'm not familiar with the particular Gemara. But I'd love to see it, you know, and maybe we could talk more about it, after I analyze it. Yeah.
So, would you say that, let's say, someone who gives a silent bracha, meaning like, I can't hear that bracha, that would maybe be in the category of tefillah, you're saying?
Yeah, there is an idea of a tefillah. We talked about that a few weeks ago, right? About someone who's a tefillah for someone else. That idea of tefillah for other people.
Isn't there a format to tefillah, though?
There's a bakasha, and there's tefillah, but then there's a bakasha.
You could just ask God for things throughout the day?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. I mean, it's better in tefillah, but there's an idea of bakasha. Ram has it. Then he has a. You can find the few. It's in Achaz tefillah, I think. Or Achaz brachas. I can't. I just get confused.
We should just be open to. I'm saying that's proper to.
Yeah, that's like Yiratzon. Yiratzon, yeah, you could just say Yiratzon, that kind of thing. Shabarach, But I mean, the main thing is, you can do tefillahs are good, but there's no, I think there's a big thing of people going around for brachos because it's a much easier route towards getting stuff, is just to have, do these types of things instead of doing the hard work yourself. So it's a big appeal for these things. People want to be able to just somehow have shortcuts to perfection, but it's hard. It's much easier to get a bracha than to stop talking Lashon Hara. So there's a big appeal to it. Now, but it doesn't mean there's no such thing as going to, being moved by a Rav and a person having an authority figure, someone who's Talmud Chacham, advise you and give you chizuk and neitzah and strength. That's good. That could help guide you and give you a proper way to now, when you face the battles of life, you'll be better armed to be able to approach life and to grow. What's better? What's more important than that? I mean, to have Eitzah, to be able to, Yeshua. Like for instance, Yeshua went to the Kivrei Avos when he was under the Atzas Meraglim, and he was pressured by them. He went to the Avos to think about their lives and to be moved, so that he'd be able to stay strong from the Eitzah of the Meraglim. And he stayed strong. He had Chizuk, and he wasn't a Chote. So that's great. That's sort of the thing is could help move a person to be able to have chizuk against the temptations and the difficulties in life. But that's the main route towards a person's growth is through his own growth and his own things which will move him towards that growth. Yes, Matt.
I don't really have a full question yet. Basically, what happens if someone doesn't have a kola?
The call to Chava?
Yeah. Like, is that... Is that like not? Are they supposed to like? Is that just supposed to be the reality?
I mean, it's some upshot in that. I mean, it's a good question. I have to analyze it more in depth. But some upshot is an onesh. She was a chote. Women had a certain type of a life and a model for their life prior to the chait. And if Adam and Chava lived a certain way, they would have a certain life which wouldn't have that pain. And because of the chait, they succumbed. Somehow they were forged the future of mankind, that this is the proper way for mankind to live now, given the chait, is that we have to have that pain and suffering that helps keep women in check.
But it changes
changes the life of a woman, and now for her to be, that's the best plan for a woman to be perfected now, is that she has these pain and childbirth, and maybe it'll prevent her from feeling all powerful, that she creates life, or there's like the different emotions, there's the way God made man or made woman, based upon the current way we live, that's best for her. Overall, for it's best for a person than for a woman is that. That's an onus, though. If we were living a different life, it would have been better, you know, would have been able to not have that pain. Like, pain helps. Certain pains help a person. Like, death helps remind the person that he's mortal. So it allows you to, to have any chance of not feeling all full of yourself. You know, certain things are painful, but they allow a person to keep touch with reality. So I would think that's a similar kind of a thing, you know.
That's important to explain. I mean, you're saying that's important, like, it's, like, not to take... I don't know if it's like that.
I think it's just like, well, these are like the things you have to deal with. I don't know if like in any particular woman.
Like you're saying that there's all medication
that they
take,
it's not so painful.
It's painless.
It's not that painless, you know, but it's much less.
Unless they develop better medication.
I don't know. I don't know. There's also raising kids. They're not going to develop medicine for that, you know? That's part of the pain, is the raising the kids. And the being pregnant, they don't get rid of that. I mean, it's like, the nature of the thing. It's the concept, I think. I don't know if, I don't think it's specifically every, the exact measure of pain is specifically, you can't minimize pain because of that. I don't think it's a concept that a woman... Childbirth the whole process isn't exactly like a woman feeling powerful. There's a lot of negatives associated with it also. So on the one hand, she's like recreating life, but at the same time, she's definitely like in a certain vulnerable role and position in the whole process. Maybe that, going off the top of my head, but
it
keeps her in check. But that's a call, I think it's like that's an onesh. What the call is that now that she's a chote, in order for her to have a good life, she has to have this negative hush, this negative state. That's better for her now. You know, so a certain type of call it could be, because someone is a chote, the call is they have to be an avid. And if they live as an avid, they'll be able to live a good life in line with ideas, but if they get money, and they get a power, then they're going to end up being corrupt.
So it's important for you to work, to almost fill that kala at home.
Yes, right. The kala is, right.
To be working.
Yes, the kala is actually, in a certain sense, a bracha. It shows you the proper way for you to live. If you want to be successful, you have to live like that. Now, it's painful, it's a kala, because you have to live a painful life in order to be perfected. You know, so a certain person is kala, like, as an avid, like not. If you live as an avid, then you'll be able to be good. You live with the money, then it's going to kill you. Something like that. But kala is used a lot of times in terms of different sense. That's the one in those cases. I mean, but just like bracha, there's a lot of cases. But just like bracha, I mean, each case you'd have to analyze and see what it is. But that's, Yeah, Dave?
How would you suggest to split up your time in learning? Let's say that I have 5 hours throughout the day, at home.
Right.
Should I spend
What are your choices or anything?
I mean, I was thinking maybe, I could do 3 hours Gemara, 2 hours Bikias, 1 hour Bikias, or 12 Bikias, or 1 hour Bikias, and 1 hour, Halacha L'maisa, or 3 hours Ian, 2 hours Bikias, I don't know.
Right. Just by yourself?
Yeah.
How would you do Ian? What would you do?
Ian, look at Gemara.
don't know you that well. It's hard for me to say, but I think a good mix of, I'd say mainly, like Ian, if you could really do Ian yourself, I don't know your abilities, but if you could do it in yourself, I'd say probably a good amount of time on Ian. Probably like more than, I don't know the number.
More than
exactly.
3 hours?
What?
More than 3?
No, 3 sounds reasonable. 3 sounds 5 hours. I mean, probably the majority of the time to Ian, and a good mix of Bikias and Alakha. I'd say, yeah. I'd say it would be nice to do some Hashkafa also, but like I'm not sure what that would involve.
I use Shabbos for that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Also, I mean, Bikias, like, you know, I also need to get better on my reading
skills. Yeah, no, for sure. No, I think you should. I don't know your skills also. I mean, you ought to put in time to get better, just reading skills. But I assume you're getting better, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you feel like you're improving, I'd say.
When I do, yeah, I'm also, you know, going to the bar again and then looking up your show.
Yeah, it sounds reasonable. Sounds also. What's your thing? 3 hours and.
I think 3 hours.
One hour
of the keys and 1 hour, you know, like a tour or something.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Sounds nice. Yeah.
Just to go back to the question about giving brachas.
Yes.
In tefillah. So it sounds like what you're saying before was that it's not a good dera for a guy to kind of take the easy way out and just go and get a bracha from someone, even though they might have the right idea that it's a tefillah or whatever, but it's just not, it sounds like you're saying it's not a good dera. So I kind of feel like I'm asking a little bit of a dumb question, but if you're going to a great person and it doesn't work, I mean, what's the problem with that? It works, you know.
Yeah, no, that's dumb question.
Yeah.
No,
I'm
just yeah.
Well,
no, I don't know if it works. When I say it's the main thing, I mean, I think the main thing is the most working thing. Like, there's no shortcut, and it works, but, like, the idea of tefillah, like we said, the idea we said of other people davening for you, I think that works insofar as the other person is really moved by your fate, and it bothers the person, and helps the person. And, like, just the idea of the other person just taking a list of a million names and just saying all the names, I don't think that's, like, then you're looking at tefillah as, like, a magic thing, you know, just say the words and put in the name, and then the person gets better. But I think the idea of tefillah is like if someone who's like a rabbi or someone who knows you, who's at a high level and knows you, and it bothers them, and insofar as something bad would happen to you, or you're in a negative state, and therefore they're hashkalacha, they're misfalel in a real way because they really want your tov, you're meaningful to them, and now it's their tefillah. So now you're subject to their hashkalacha, so to speak, in their level of tefillah. You know, but the thing has to be, it's like a real tefillah on their behalf. But just to throw words, some random stranger is a big rabbi to put in, you know, a list of 1,000 names and have your name, I don't think that there's any, I don't know, maybe that somehow helps in some way. But I mean, the major dara, like the Rashi we saw, so it says the tefillah of a chola is better than the main tefillah, better than other people daven for a chola. And so Yahagar says that, Hashem listened to the kol hanar. It says, you see from here, the tefillah of the chol himself is the best tefillah. Because he's the person who's being moved by it. So, I mean, just the derech is, it's like, it's not just that it's a shortcut, it's just it's not as effective. The main way to really grow is through your own tefillahs and your own working on yourself. And, like, there may be a place for things like that, but I think the whole root is basically. It ends up being also at the detriment of the other. It's like it becomes like a person feels complacent and feels like, I don't have to do it. Look, I have all these rabbis out for me, all these, you know.
So you're not really going to change or do anything?
I don't think you really, like, you stay who you are and you just have some rabbi say, put your name in a list and who's, you know, stays up until the middle of the night and says your name on the St. Helen and, you know. It's on Kever or something. I don't know if it just does anything. It just brings you toward the whole wrong, you know, like simplistic, immature way of thinking about, you know, relating to God.
Right.
Through having, you know.
Kind of like takes out shtadlus out of it altogether.
Yeah. Right.
From like God to whatever.
Yeah, now of course he'll say, well, I'm still going to do it anyways, it's just that it'll help. But I think it's just like an attitude. It's just not the derech for a person to grow and a person to relate
like
to God. But, yeah, you can twist anything.
There's a similar thing with, like, the Brisker of, like, there's a certain thing, but down by a kind of logic. And if you keep in mind, you know, this is like, if you keep in mind that Hashem's like the only power on earth, mm-hmm. you'll stay away from danger. Mm-hmm. So it made a point to, like, you know, it's not just mumbling words.
Right.
You have to really have kavana.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's someone he saw once, like, doing this thing, like something, like something like Zula thing. He said, it's not just about mumbling the words, saying words, about actually having the, like, the real feeling.
Right. Yeah, right, for sure. Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's very easy to say formulas and to just get into it. It's hard to the internal kavanas and to really be focused on ideas. And so that's, I think, what a person has to be focused on. And you know, a lot of times by pursuing these types of things, they're superficial, and you lose sight of the real ideas. You know, and then you know, you don't get anything. You don't get the real ideas. You don't get anything from these things. So, although there might be true ideas and good ideas to, like, yeah, to say that all the time, say Hashem's the main power. Yeah, if you could do it right, but if you're not at a level to do it, just to say it, it just becomes, you end up feeling confident about yourself because you're always saying this formula, but you're not. You're not really any better than anybody else. You just happen to say this thing all the time. You know? So, like, what do you, you know, it kind of, you feel religious and you feel like you're doing the right thing, but you're not. So you have to be honest with what you're doing and where you're at and focus on, you know, the real internal personal growth. You know? Yeah.
What do you say to
that? I was just going to add, I think that's even more dangerous sometimes. Especially if the person asking for a bracha is like not so involved in, she said, I don't really understand the kind of Judaism.
Right.
And if it, like, they see it does work somehow, like if they, or they, you know, whatever right. they're asking for does work.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I know a situation like in my family a little bit, like they hold that person, like
right.
he is like a
powerful.
It's like a deity. Like, it's
right.
Like,
yeah,
so
right.
scary. So.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So I think that's like, even if it works, it seems like it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. And a lot of these things work just by probabilities. That's like with that video, right, with the raisin, Randy.
Right,
these things just work.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they work, and then make a big deal. And they don't work, you don't remember it, or you always think it's something else. And you end up like, you know, people are looking to believe in different types of things,
right.
I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a bad derech. I mean, I think in general it's a bad derech. Although there might be certain ideas which are true in these things, but, and there may be gemaras which indicate them. I mean, I think there are things which look...
Like in general, you see, like, not just like, I mean, like the rabbis themselves. Like,
yeah, unfortunately. Well, that's what I'm saying. So that example, you know, I don't know what you see. I'm not sure what you see the rabbis themselves do. It's hard to know. I know that's the one story you know about of the Baruch of Moshe is that story. I don't know what brachos Moshe gave to a lot of people. I don't know what he says.
I mean, in general, you know that people came to Moshe to get brachos.
Yeah, I don't know what he said to them. I don't know what that idea was. I don't know what the good conversation was and how it went. And again, I could think if you bring someone to Moshe and he's a big Gadol Adar and he gives you a nice warm smile and he's a very friendly person and he tells you you should be a Talmud Chacham, I think that could move a person. Like, if you're a kid, it could really move a person. He's like, he's a model of, most of they say, it's like a model of perfection. He's a real mensch. He's like, you know, has like a real balmidos. A person, like they say, like, he was just, like, I don't know, somehow the Rebbe said a story. He says, like, you could, like, he just looked like a perfected person. I don't know, somehow he just, like, had that, carried himself in a certain type of a way. Or Moshe Feinstein. They say he was, like, very humble, like, he was a, you know, so it could be a person could really be moved by something like that. So you go to him and gives you a bracha, but it's not just a magical thing. It really could impact the person in a way that could really direct them towards the Torah and mitzvahs. So it could be Rav Moshe knew that, and he had a way of, you know, a way of trying to impact people in that type of manner. But I don't, you know, I don't know. I don't know what Rav Moshe did. The only story I know is that. I'm sure there are a lot of stories of Rav Moshe. I just don't know the whole, you know. So, but there are a lot of, you know. I don't know. I know the Rav. You know the story of the Rav. Two stories of the Rav about people who brought into the Rav. One of them said, "He said, someone said to the Rav, can you give my son a bracha?' He said, 'Can you give me a bracha?' He says, 'What are you, an apple?'" And the other one is, he said, a woman said, my son is going to Israel. Can you give him a bracha?" He said, "Have a nice trip." So, but I don't know. You know, I don't know if there are other stories, right? You know. But I'm sure there are rabbis who do it, and there's, you know, maybe they're good ideas. It's hard for me to judge.
Yeah.
I don't know. Doesn't seem like, look, maybe there's a story like Rameyer, but in general, that thing in the Gemara isn't like just going to Rabbi's for brachos. I mean, there are stories, and you could try to figure out what they're saying.
Yeah, Mr. Ruff said, you know, a lot of people that run around getting brachos from different rabbis, like, you know, people aren't as makbid to go to Birchas Kohan, which is
kind of. You're right.
But it seems like he still recognizes the idea
of the Yeah. Yeah.
Another separate thing.
Yeah.
Why do you think the Rav went to learn? He went to University of Berlin, judging on where he came from.
I don't know.
And like, if you look at his even his father, like his his grandfather, like his uncle.
Right. They were against the stuff.
Yeah. I mean, but it still seems like it's not like they really held it against him though. The Brisker Rebbe is very anti-secular stuff. Mm-hmm. It's in the Rebbe Chaim. It's like, the Brisker Rebbe sent this Torah over to the Rebbe.
Yeah, right.
So, see.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about his history to know what exactly his husband was. And, you know.
He said the Rebbe didn't hold the Brisker Rebbe down because.
What?
He also said that the Rebbe didn't hold his uncle down because of this. Do you have a Sanskrit?
Who's the Brisker Rebbe? What?
Do you have Mado Dechnidot?
Yeah.
It's a very famous
thing. Yeah, here I remember I saw Ilan Shumel was telling me about it. No, I never saw it. I heard it was good though. Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know that much about his personal life,
It's kind of funny though. Like, judging.
Well, he's his own person. I mean, I don't know if he has to, The Rav was not just one to just go by his, his predecessors and to say what they held,
But it's also kind of it's also not so clear what he held on the whole thing. Because he never really mentions, it's a positive to go and learn this stuff. He only really, he mentions it,
talks about it a lot.
Yeah, but he never mentions it, it's a positive thing to go out and learn secular stuff.
Yeah, if you want, you could. I know Aaron Zimmer, my chavrus, Rabbi Zimmer. He's just recently finished basically reading everything that Rav wrote, pretty much. So if you want to ask him, he may know a lot more about if he talks about it anywhere or whatever. Or Rabbi Ilan Shimel also is writing a PhD on the Rav, so he probably knows stuff also. So those might be two resources if you want to talk to them. They may know more about it. I just don't know that. I haven't read that much. I just don't know that much about the Rav. Unless I got to ask about these things. But it's a good question.
It seems like it wasn't just that they didn't happen to learn
second. No. Yeah, I know. There was a story. I think I read in that book by the Rav, the Holzer book. So I think he said that there's a story about Rav Chaim. Someone said that Rav Chaim was curious about Nietzsche. He's a philosopher. So I think he said he had one of his students, they used to go out in the field, and one of his students would translate it for him and just read him the whole thing. They did it I guess they had a Seder in it or something. He said something I think his comment was something he's a very smart man, but he's going to end up in an insane institution or something. And I think maybe he did. I think he ended up going crazy. Well, from that story, at least, you see, he did pursue it. I mean, you read the whole book, or you read the whole thing to him. So I don't think, Chokhmah is, a pursuit of ideas is something that they've been, I don't know what they were exactly.
It's also interesting, how do you understand, Yish Chokhmah Bagayin, Bayin Torah Bagayin? What does it mean Bayin Torah? It seems like then you shouldn't really get your Ashkafa. Chokhmah, Chokhmah is Chokhmah, science, whatever.
Right.
But it seems...
Right. I think it means this thing we were just talking about tonight about mitzvahs. It's like the Torah. Chachmah is just like ideas. You can have a lot of good ideas, but Torah is like the whole derech of the Torah, the life of Torah. The way a system which incorporates ideas of Chachmah into a person's life, like the Torah does, is something.
Yes, you see the way the Rav operates with this stuff? He uses certain ideas. The reason he's able to do it is because he already knew this is kind of like, she knew Judaism like very well.
Right.
So he was able to say like, oh, this Greek philosophy was not like applying. Or he was able to say like, you know, this is able to bring out a certain idea through something someone said. But the whole system itself was still within Torah.
Right.
It wasn't like justifying Torah.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, negate something else.
Yeah, right. For sure. Yeah, but I'm saying it's like the Chiddush of the Torah is like the whole life of the Torah, which is a combination of Chachma and the way we live, like the system of mitzvos, which like that brings a person to a whole life of Chachma. Like you have philosophers, but they don't live like they live by Chachma. They have a system which builds, you know, builds ideas into their life, and that's why it doesn't last. Like even like you know. The Greek philosophers or something didn't like even Avraham Avinu's system wouldn't have lasted without Sinai. Like Sinai is the Torah.
They lasted lots of Talmidim.
I know, but then where'd they go? Then Shiv Nefesh Yotzu Mitzrayim.
Yeah, because they didn't have a system.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right, exactly. Then even those didn't last. You see, but the Torah is a system that Hashem gave which had lasting power for an Am. We have a whole Am involved in my mitzvos, and the mitzvos themselves embody the ideas. So this way the ideas are maintained through and on a national level. Through the Asiyas and Mitzvos, on the, you know, on every person in the Am, it talks to every person involved in the Asiyas and Mitzvos. And the ideas are maintained for the highest level people to be involved in the ideas, and then the plain people are involved on their level. And it's like the way the Torah managed to maintain the ideas of the Torah through the halakhic system and through the Torah is something which you don't have in the Gaon. So you have isolated instances of Chachma, yes. But nothing like us. Like Torah is the system of the Torah. That's only if from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, I think that's what Rabbi explained once. Yeah, I seem to remember that.
What? And just another thing. What do you say? How important is Berkis?
Important. Pretty important.
Should you like? I'm saying like. I don't know. Like, should you? Work like you know, work on you know finishing, like just finishing lots of the samples and trying to finish us. It's a.
I would think. Well, there's two things, a few things. I mean, one thing is obviously skills, right? I mean, but that's you know once you do a certain amount of daf, you got all the skills and you know how to read and whatever. That's obviously very important. I mean, you don't know how to read well. And you're not going to have to learn Bion, because now you're going to be able to make the Yukim. I mean, you got to be solid in being able to read. You know, that's obviously of utmost importance. You know, but that's only because up to a certain point. You know, it's finished Shas, you have to do that. You finish Pimasachdas, and you got that down, you know. Then there's an idea of, like, having, like, a knowledge of Torah, just at your disposal, at your fingertips, insofar as like when you learn the ideas and be in, so you don't have access to different various parts of the Torah. So the more you don't know anything, and you're not going to be able to learn a sugya, so whatever, you just don't know, you're missing all the facts. So that's important. And, you know, and you get a scope. I mean, there's a certain appreciation you see from the scope of Torah, various areas in Torah which you pick up, you know. But I think there is something to... But that's a matter of knowing it. Like, I don't think there's anything... The idea of finishing shops, I think, is not really a real idea. I think that's like it's like a sport. It's like an accomplishment. Like, you know...
It's more about knowing shops.
Yeah, it's more about knowing. Yeah, if you know shops. Yeah, right. You finish shops. You make a little check, and you have your thing, and now you pat yourself on the back, and you feel like a good boy, and you know. But, like, what does that do for you? Like if you first of all you forget everything, once it really doesn't do anything. So when you finish the big deal, it doesn't you know. So yeah, if you know Shas, but it's hard to know Shas is really, you know, who knows Shas. Like some people do, and if you finish Shas and you're that, you know. But I'd say more important to know two Masechtos than to finish Shas, you know, if it's but like, you know, there is something to exposure to the lots of a vast amounts of knowledge, you know.
Chaim said if you're not gonna have to produce real chiddush, you have to know at least all Shas or Rashi.
Oh yeah?
Yeah,
but who knows? You know, look, it's good for Chaim, but like, if you're capable of that would be great,
you
know?
He said you have to do like 40 daf a month if you want a chance of being a Talmud.
Really?
But Riskarov said you could do 20.
20, really?
That's the whole
left. Yeah, I mean, I mean, it is unbelievable. Like the Briskarov, you see it, and like the way they knew shots on their fingertips, and they were able to pull out the right source at the right time. But they knew it like different than we know it. They knew it like the Briskarov knew shots conceptually. Like he's clearing a hakira about something. He'll like quote another Gemara or a Tosfos, which, and even on the Pshat, does not have anything to do with the Gemara. It's because he has like a conceptual understanding of the Sugya that he's able to apply it to the Sugya.
He went through like Shas
for Ian? Yeah, sort of. Like, at least like on a basic level of Ian, yes. I don't know if like, you know, there's different levels of Ian, but he had like I've seen cases where he brings like a question in a Tosfos, and the fact that Tosfos asks this question, you see he's learning the Sugya this way, and because he's learning the Sugya this way, oh, so from this Sugya, you see, you know. Even if you did the Tosfos, you don't even notice that. And certainly if you did it 20 years ago, or however long ago, you're not going to notice it, you know. So, like, they were geniuses, and they learned, like, all the time, and they were able to, like, it's like a combination of Bikias and depth. I don't think it's just what we would call Bikias.
Like, it's
not just facts. It's like a... I don't know if it's like fully in depth, but I'm sure it's 20 daf. I mean, he can't be doing it fully in depth, but he had the ability to pick out like a conceptual view of the Gemara and to pick out what ideas could you glean from the Sugya. Yeah. Just to run through it and whatever, I just don't know if that's, you know, his Bikias is not our Bikias, you know? But, you know, that he had a wealth of knowledge of idea, you know. I think that's what someone said, that the Rav was a Bucky in Svaras. You know, as far as like any area, he had svaras, you know, like, but that's great, you know, a wealth of ideas that you bring to an area when you want to learn an area, you could, you know, but just to run through stuff, I don't know if you're going to get that, but like, it takes time. I think you have to, I think there's a good combination of Bikias and Bien. I mean, it's good to do, like, something that Grevy recommends, called Bikian, you know, it's like a quicker Bikias, it's quicker Bien, or slower Bikias, you know. Like, go through a thing and get one or two ideas on a page. I don't know, let's say, you know. Try to think a little bit so you get a little bit more than just plain shot. But at the same time, you know, you move along. So this way you get a good, you cover different areas, you see different principles and shots. There's a lot of different sugyas and shots you want to, like, have familiarity with.
So,
what? Iksuvas is good like that, yeah. Shas katan, they call it, right? Yeah.
Well, how would you advise, you know, getting skills?
Skills? What, like svara skills or shots?
In terms of, like, I'm reading, what do you use by, like, using, like, now you, are you, like, against using med school? So look at someone who would have said, I know the whole world is against me, but he said it's good to use a med school.
Oh, yeah, that's what Aaron Zimmer thinks.
Yeah?
Yeah, he learned how to read with a med school. He said he holds by it. He thinks, he also thinks that. He says he thinks the world is into, like, pain and suffering, but he thinks, like, you don't have to have pain and suffering. He said, I think he used to do is he did it, he'd do the daf, you know, when he got stuck, he'd go to the art school, but then he'd always look back at the daf afterwards without the art school. Like, he'd use it, like, because he feels, what do you have to spend, like, an hour looking up a word? It was just like, you know.
I mean, it's hard to even not just get, like, sucked up in the art school.
Yeah, well, he would afterwards. I mean, look, I think he did it. So he did it when he needed help. He tried to do it on his own, but he wouldn't suffer too much. Like, when he couldn't do it, he'd use it. But then he'd look back and do the daf afterwards without it. And I think he just held by doing, getting exposure. That was what he says. By having exposure to enough shots, you just learn the different words and the different things, and then you just pick it up. Like, the way of doing it, you know, breaking your teeth over it, you cover, let's say, 10 daf. This way, you cover the same amount of time, you cover 50 daf. But a lot of learning how to learn is just seeing different patterns, different words, different examples, different this, and...
What about the Rashi? Yeah, Rashi
and Tosfos. No, I don't know. He just did that. I don't know how he did that. Rashi can do that. Rashi's not so hard. It's Gemara is really harder than Rashi.
Yeah, let's move on.
It's Gemara. The problem with Gemara is like the punctuation. Is where to stop, where to start. Rashi is pretty easy. Rashi reads, you know, there aren't too many hard words. Rashi's not so hard.
The problem with Rashi is that the hard words, they're not in the Jastrels, because not Aramaic, and they're not in the
Mon Hebrew
dictionaries either.
Oh, I know.
Dr. J.
Yeah, there are a lot of hard words in Rashi, I don't know. You get stuck a lot on words in Rashi or not?
Tell you the etymology of the area.
Do you get stuck on Rashi words a lot or not so much?
I've gotten stuck on Rashi sometimes. Yeah. Same thing as Gemara.
Yeah, is what's the problem.
The punctuation and the commas. It's hard like that. It's been a while. It's like I've been doing it for a long time. It's hard for me to remember how it is, you know? But I always thought Gemara is harder than Rashi.
It is harder than Rashi.
It's harder,
yeah, for
right?
Sure. I can do a Rashi.
Tosfos also very hard.
Tosfos is hard. Tosfos is different. What? The words in Tosfos or just
it's just another world, is it?
What?
It's just another world, Tosfos. It's like his own jargon, no?
Yeah.
Oh, does it, yeah?
He's
the words?
Like when he starts a question, when he starts an answer.
Oh, that type of thing. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But there's not that many. You pick up on those things, I think. You know, there's not so many different ways they start to question and answer.
So what would you suggest doing there?
I don't know.
Why not?
How did you do it?
I didn't do art school. I had better. I had a year in Israel. I had a chavrusa. It was like an American Israeli, and he was like a bukias machine. We used to do like 4.5 daf in like 53 hours. And like he would like zip through his mom super duper fast. He'd like racing. I used to accuse him of not understanding what he was doing. He'd like zip so fast. Something like, we used to like something like that. We used to zip through. We did a few mesachtos that year.
That's crazy.
You know, big ones. And then what he did is, but I used to do is, I remember we did it for like, it was like a 3-hour afternoon seder. And then I went back at night and he was going over what we did. You know? So, but he used, so I didn't have a, you know, so I didn't, he just knew, he knew most things. But, you know, I think he's art, I think he was Jastra, I didn't use art school. But it was, I was with him and he was like more advanced than I was, so.
Right. So I didn't know.
What?
So what were you able to learn from that?
Well, I went over it at night. I used to go over it on my own. So I like I think a lot of it is just like, you know, well, that's what I think, that's the point that Tim was making. It's like you get the words. The main thing is like you have to learn from what you learn, from what you get the word. However you get it, but now to look it over and to pick it up and now, you know. I don't know. I kind of hear, like, you have to know yourself. If, like, the painful breaking your teeth thing, it depends. If it's going to break you, then it's definitely, you know, not a good idea. But if you could do it, I don't know. I'm not sure. I can see the argument about that. I don't know. I don't know if it matters.
I asked something similar one time to someone, like, telling me different methods, and just not worth for me. So what I did was, I just kind of compiled a lot of words that I was really having trouble with. Something like 300 words. And I just sat there with index cards.
Oh, really?
And then I learned how to read. Yeah.
Well, I think Rabbi Zucker said that. I think Rabbi Zucker said there's like 250 words or something, which are like 90% of the words in Gemara.
Right.
Yeah.
Something like that, 250, 300 words or something.
Really?
Like
that. Does he have a list?
What?
Does he have a list?
Maybe Moshe Zucker does, or maybe everybody does. Well, probably does.
Those cards that you said on your Torah?
Those cards, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think those cards. Those are big.
No, but those are, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah, that card is.
Well, I mean, I don't like.
A lot of words that weren't out there, yeah.
I don't like the definitions either, because it's like such.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you learn in Israel?
What?
What did you learn in Israel?
I learned in Rabbi Chaim Sheitz Yeshiva. It doesn't exist anymore. It's in Mechmas.
It's opening
up
a new one.
Yeah, I know. That's looks like a good place.
Damn.
Yeah, Darrell's, yeah. What's that? No, I think I heard a few kids out. 4 or 5 kids, I think.
Roth?
You see that?
Oh,
right, yeah.
Cohen, right? And then...
Who's
Cohen?
Is that
the phone?
Pinsky.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Levy, maybe.
I thought of Darrell. Darrell told me there's like 4 or 5 kids.
Oh, yeah?
That's awesome.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Can you know how much there are in total?
What?
Do you know how much time?
I think like something like 20.
That's good.
Yeah, it should be good. That was great. Rahanche was great. He's, you know, great rabbi.
Why couldn't they open up my year?
Yeah. You can go, still. Go next year.
Maybe, I don't know.
That's
yeah, so I don't know. I'm not sure what I would recommend. What do you want to do?
I mean, if people.
You like art school?
I usually use just a gesture on the Zilberman.
Which is the Zilberman? The Aleph, the Taf?
The green, that's the green. This
oh, the green one. No.
Or this one.
So tight.
Right. And how does it work with you? Do you like it or not?
It's hard. I'm saying if people could do it with the art school, that'd make it a lot easier. Like, I mean, if you see people who can't do it with the art school,
yeah.
Make stuff
that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're not lazy about it.
Yeah, I know. Like, if you really work
if you're going to do it, I mean, if you, you're right, if you make it into like a cushy, you know, thing and you don't really work at it, you're just zipping through it. But if you do it, I think that's what you do. If you, first of all, try, I think that's what he said. He tried to do it on his own. But when you would turn to the gesture, he would turn to the art school, you know? And then he'd get it. But then, and he with time, he'd start doing that last, you know? Like, he'd work as hard as he could, but when it started getting really painful and really hard, so then he'd do that. But then afterwards, he'd make sure to go over the daf on the normal Gemara, nothing to do with art school. Read it over, make sure he gets the flow, the questions, the answers, the stops, the start.
So what do you say to the, like, you know, when you do it, do like a lot of chazara so they can get down pat?
Yeah. I think so, because it's like the same Yama Bishlama, the same like phrases come up all over the place. place, you know? So if you get down one Gemara down that, then you'll be able to just get pick up the phrases where those things come up all the same things come up on every Gemara, you know? So once you get down this Gemara clear, you know nothing, you should be able to get the whole Gemara, the whole give and take, step by step of the Gemara, you know? And then I think if you do that enough, you know, first of all, you'll cover more ground, so you'll get more exposure to more areas, and, you know, which is good anyways. It will be less painful, which is another sort of being pain, you know? And I think it may be more efficient, I don't know. It worked, you know, it worked. Definitely people, someone else told you, who else, told, who's the other one who told you? Max Redney? Yeah, he did that. He also recommended it.
Yeah,
so it works for him. It works for them, man. It's true people are against it, but I don't know.
I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah, it works. As I'm saying, it's like it's a practical thing. You want to get to the goal. There's no... Exactly. The whole thing is a practical thing. It's a means to getting to be able to read a Gemara. So if you do it diligently and you're going to put in the time to doing it, I think you'll end up learning how to read sooner than later. So what do you have to do? Go through the painful, the suffering, you know? Yeah, I think so. Try it. Look, try it and monitor yourself after a month. See how it's going. I think so. I think you should notice you'll start using it less and less as you, you know? If you don't feel that way, after a month, if you don't get that sense that you're kind of doing that, then I think, you know, maybe you go back to your old...
I know we're sort of simple, but like before I wasn't able to read it,
but
now read a Rishon a lot easier.
You know? Oh, yeah. So these things, you pick it up. I think you pick it up, you know? Yeah, I think you might as well. Just, you know.
I'll try it.
Yeah, try it out. See, you know, but there's no thing to have a painful experience. Why should you already have to be hard and hard? You know, you think it'll be more, you'll pick it up quicker, I think. If the theory of this works, you'll get it quicker.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy more, you get more exposure to more tomorrow.
You don't want to kill yourself.
Yeah, you don't want to kill yourself. There's no, you know, learning should be enjoyable.
They kill me in Israel for that. That was like the.
What?
Like, when I would pick up an artist for this.
Oh, really?
Like, my chavrusa, I had, like, a little bit, like, an abusive chavrusa.
Oh, yeah?
Like, he would, like, slap the, like, the thing.
Really?
Where, like, he would not let, and I need, like, I really need, and it was, I remember, it was just, like, too painful, like, to sit there and, like,
The one thing is that they do with gesture, is, like, you gotta learn the skill of
finding the root.
Yeah, the root. Like being able to see the root in the word.
If
you have a gesture, you have to force yourself to be able to figure out that the stuff sometimes doesn't belong in the root. Punctuating. But I think if you do it long enough and go with an art scroll, hopefully you'll be able to pick that up.
I'll learn to read before I go to Israel.
What?
I'll learn to read before I go to Israel.
If you're putting in time and learning, I think you'll pick it up soon enough.
How long did it take you then?
It took me 1 year basically. Right. And you went last, you know. I mean, but look, I came in already, you know, knowing probably as much as you when I started, you know. You know, I didn't really know how to read beforehand, but it was that year was intense. Right. It doesn't take that long if you're diligent. If you put in time, you know, you'll.
If I put in like let's say, like 2 hours or 1 hour a night.
I don't know. It's a few months.
I guess should I spend like 2 hours in the night instead of one?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think you have to rush it. You know, feel what you're comfortable with. You know, I don't look like you said your BN is also BKS.
I guess that's true.
So you're doing that anyway. So you know, there's no exact formula. Do what you're comfortable with. You know, it could be range. It could be you know. You're in the mood to do it, you know. You could always like stop on your bikkios and think about it, you know. But they're all, you know, you'll pick it up. You're young, you're doing stuff, you're learning, you'll pick it up with them, you know, before you know it, you'll get it. It's not, you know. If you're diligent about it, I think you pick it up. It's like if you stick to it in any way, you'll end up getting it sooner than later. Yeah. Farmers
learn to speak a bit.
Yeah, that's
the
thing.
I'll teach you. He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Any other questions? Where are we at here? It's late or no? Yeah, it's late. Yeah, okay. So why don't we stop here?